Welcome to Well Woman Radio, the program that gets to the heart of women's health and wellness for everyone's well-being. I'm Giovanna Rossi. Healthcare reform, also known as the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, is moving forward with the new healthcare coverage enrollment starting in October, and both women and men could have a lot to gain. Women's health advocates say the law impacts women enormously because it's often women who make healthcare decisions for their families. It's the biggest social change to happen in 50 years, according to organizations trying to get ready for it. But will it help make American women and families healthier? Or are we just feeding more people into an already broken system? Women stand to gain benefits they've gone without for years, birth control and maternity care, to name just two. But what about women that don't qualify for expanded Medicaid and still can't afford insurance through the newly formed health insurance exchanges or marketplaces to comparison shop for insurance plans? Join healthcare experts and women's health advocates as we discuss the impact of the law on the health of women and families. I take a closer look at history being made as the healthcare reform law takes its first steps.
This is an incredible opportunity for millions of people to get the health care coverage that they have wanted. It's comprehensive coverage. It covers preventive care without any cost sharing at all. It really means no more high medical costs and no losing everything you have because of being sick or being hit by a car.
Hear more from Judy Waxman, Vice President for Health and Reproductive Rights at the National Women's Law Center, as we discuss how people can access the new initiative. And Dorianne Mason, an attorney at the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, explains what impact it will have on family life.
Definitely, with the figures that we have in New Mexico in particular, I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for healthier families and healthier people.
I also met Jessica Eves Matthews, co-author of the new best-selling book, Wonder Women, How Western Women Will Save the World.
Yay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Over a glass of champagne at a publicity event in Albuquerque, New Mexico, she talked about the changes that we need to make to the way businesses are run.
I think it's become clear that the old way of doing business doesn't work. It's broken. It's a broken business model. It doesn't work. It's not healthy. It's not even healthy for the economy, much less for us as human beings.
Stay tuned for Well Woman Radio next. The conversation about healthcare reform has been going on for years, but in many ways it hasn't been happening in the public arena. So there are a lot of questions being asked now that it's finally starting to become a reality. The law itself was signed in 2010, and now the first stages are being rolled out. In October, the health insurance exchanges are open for enrollment. I asked Judy Waxman, Vice President for Health and Reproductive Rights at the National Women's Law Center, if enough funding has been given to get the message out to the public.
Yes, there was a lot of money that came with the law that went to states for education so people would understand what it was that was coming and how they'll be able to make choices to get coverage. Unfortunately, this issue of people getting health insurance, quite surprisingly to me, has become very political, and a number of states really do not want to educate their people about the options that will be available. So you had a number of states around the country simply giving the money back and otherwise thwarting people from knowing what choices they're going to have starting in October, as you said. So it's kind of an interesting situation. It's complex, and there's a lot of pieces to learn about. And some states are doing a great job, and others are doing a horrible job of letting their folks know what's going to be happening.
So there are lots of efforts around the country to get the word out and to let people know what's going on. And I know that many people have lots and lots of questions about the details. And so I wanted to get into some of the questions. But just to frame this for our listeners, often it's women who make health care decisions for their families. And so we're making a special effort, and you are, and lots of people around the country are making a special effort to reach women with this information. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. Numbers people tell us that women make about 80% of the decisions on health care for their family. So not only do we wind up making health insurance choices for ourselves, but we do it for our family, and we're the ones that set up the appointments and actually encourage members of our family to get the health care they need. So women are a crucial group in helping them to understand what's going to happen.
So what is happening in terms of the health care law? I feel like we hear about it and we tell people lots of pieces about the law, but in real terms, what do you want women to be doing now?
What I think women should do is encourage their families, their children, their adult children in particular, who do not have health insurance, to go to healthcare.gov. Healthcare.gov is a website that you'll be able to plug in your state and see what plans are available. You or your adult child or your spouse or whomever is looking will be able to put in information about your income, and what you will be able to figure out is what plans are available in your area and how much they will cost for you. Because don't forget, there's a big tax credit, an incentive, federal dollars that will help many people get a big discount on the plan that they may want if they're eligible for it. And so there are a couple pieces. Go to healthcare.gov, plug in your state, see what plans are available, what you're interested in, and then there's a calculator for you to put in your income information and find out how much of a discount you can get.
Now, this is for people who do not have health insurance currently.
That is mostly correct. It is certainly for people who do not have coverage. But also, if you buy coverage yourself on what is called the individual market, you have to go now and you have bought coverage, you may get a better deal if you go to healthcare.gov. And so you should go too and compare what you have, how much you pay now. And it's possible that people with their own individual insurance, that is, plans they don't get through their employer, it is possible that they would have a better deal too, and they should definitely check it out.
Okay, and you mentioned a discount or a tax credit. How does that actually work? Do you have to wait until the end of the tax year to get that back, or do you get the discount right away when you try to buy insurance?
Anybody who signs up will not actually get the coverage till January 1st. That's what the law said, but we're giving people 3 months in advance to figure all this out. But January 1st, you start getting your coverage. And if you get a discount, that money that you'd otherwise have to pay is paid by the federal government right to your insurance company, right to the marketplace where you're buying your coverage. So you don't have to worry about it. The only thing you'd have to worry about is if your income changed over the year, you'd have to let them know so that it could, you could get the right amount sent in your behalf. But you will not have to pay anything up front and then get a discount at the end. It'll all be calculated on a monthly basis.
You mentioned employer-sponsored coverage, and we are hearing that a lot of employers are going to be dropping family coverage and asking spouses to go and find their own coverage. Are you hearing this, and how is that going to impact women?
You know, I'm hearing pundits on TV say that this is going to happen. I have not heard of it actually happening anywhere. And the only evidence I have to point to that says the counter that I don't think it will happen is in Massachusetts, because, Massachusetts set up a similar program a number of years ago, and employers simply did not drop the coverage that they were giving either to their employees or to the families of their employees. You know, companies offer coverage for a reason. They want to get good employees, and it's part of the benefit package. And it just didn't happen in Massachusetts, and I'd say I don't think it's going to happen around the rest of the country either.
What happens if someone does not enroll by January 1st?
This year, the website is going to be open until March 31st. So from October 1st to March 31st, because it's the first year, it's going to get 3 extra months will all get 3 extra months to figure this out. So if you sign up sometime in January, you know, you'll be able to get the coverage shortly thereafter and for the rest of the year. But let's say somebody decides, I don't want health insurance, even though it's a reasonable price, I'm not going to buy it. Well, the next time that person files their income tax return for the next year, what they'll find is a new place, a new provision that has a new box that has to be checked. Did you have health insurance during the year, and tell us what it was? And if not, there's a fine. So for the first year, the fine will be relatively low, but over the next few years, it goes up.
Now, I understand some insurance plans will cost more and some will cost less. What kind of cost controls do you know of that we can let people know about, especially for people with pre-existing conditions? Can they just charge anything they want?
No, they absolutely cannot charge anything they want. First of all health plan rates must be approved by their state. And plans, whereas now plans charge people, well, they can just tell you, you have a pre-existing condition, I'm not covering you at all. Or we've heard examples, let's say somebody has had a problem with their lung and they're told, well, we'll cover all of you but not your pulmonary system. I mean, crazy stuff like that. Now, all plans must cover each person regardless of their medical history. They must charge men and women the same. You know, in the past, women were charged significantly more for men simply because they're women. And now the plans must provide rates, as I said, to the state. The only difference they can that they can look at is they can charge people a different amount if they're in a different, more expensive area of the state, or if they're older, but there are certain limits on how much they can charge people younger versus older. And they can charge more for smokers.
And when people go to the insurance marketplace, the website, and enter their information, they will be directed to different information or links to find out more, like if they, you know, qualify for Medicaid expansion, for example?
Yes. It's the one-stop shopping, it's called. Now, of course, not every state has taken the money that this law offers to expand coverage for low-income people, but about half the states have. But nevertheless, everybody goes online and they'll tell you, you are eligible for Medicaid, you're eligible for a plan in this new marketplace with this much of a discount. And very unfortunately, in about half the states, there will be a group of people who would have been eligible for Medicaid if the state took the federal money, but in those cases, they unfortunately will not be eligible for anything because their state decided they did not want to take that money.
Okay, and so in that case, the person would just qualify for regular coverage and probably calculate whatever subsidy or tax credit they're going to be given to pay towards their health coverage.
Actually, no, that's actually not exactly correct. If your income is too low in many instances to qualify for the discount, you will wind up with nothing. I mean, I know this does sound counterintuitive and a little crazy, but in half the states, people will be told, we're sorry, your income is not high enough for us to be able to give you help on a health care plan. You have to pay the whole thing or you get nothing. I know that sounds crazy, but the way the law was designed, it was supposed to be Medicaid coverage up to a certain income level, and then you get into this marketplace with discounts if your income is above that. But what happened is some states are not doing the Medicaid part. Even though it's 100% federal money for the first couple of years, they said, no, we don't want to be in this. And so they're leaving out millions of people with really with nothing, no coverage at all. And if they go to healthcare.gov and put in their income and they fall into that gap, we call it, then the website that will tell you. It will say, you know, your state did not take the federal money to expand your Medicaid program. And I don't assume it won't say it this way, but basically you're out of luck.
Judy Waxman, Vice President for Health and Reproductive Rights at National Women's Law Center, explaining just how crucial it is to inform yourself about where you stand, depending on what state you live in. That website, again, is healthcare.gov. This is Well Woman Radio. I'm Giovanna Rossi. Healthcare reform marks an important moment in United States history. It's both exciting and confusing, and throws out many questions for people on how it will make a real difference in their lives. New Mexico is one of the states that has taken up the federal funding for Medicaid expansion, and I asked Dorianne Mason, an attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, if this law is going to make American and New Mexican families healthier.
You talked a little bit about sort of this being an exciting time in America, and it's really an exciting time in New Mexico. So we have one of the highest rates of uninsurance in the entire nation. And so, of course, you know, with that high rate, that impacts families and it impacts individuals. And so with the Affordable Care Act, it covers a large majority of that population. So about 160,000 uninsured New Mexicans will now be eligible for Medicaid, and almost another, 190 or so thousand will become eligible for assistance purchasing private insurance through the exchange. And so with that, you know, being covered definitely helps families because it, one, you know, gives them stability, two, protects them, you know, from medical debt if something were to go wrong, and I think it just gives people an overall better sense of well-being. So
yeah.
I think that definitely with the figures that we have in New Mexico in particular, I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for healthier families and healthier people.
Now, Dorian, those numbers are big for New Mexico, but if people in other states are listening, 160,000 isn't that many people. Can you give us some perspective in terms of percentages of uninsured people in New Mexico and how many?
Right. So we have approximately a 1 in 5 rate of uninsurance. So 1 out of 5 New Mexicans here are uninsured, about 20 or 21% of our population.
And so 160,000 would be what percent?
The rate of uninsurance includes people who would end up being Medicaid eligible and, you know, people mm-hmm. who would end up being exchange eligible.
Okay.
So I think that 160 plus 190, so approximately, 350,000 New Mexicans will become eligible for either Medicaid or the exchange. And I think that's a pretty significant chunk of that 20% of our population.
Now, how much money does a family or a person have to make to qualify for the subsidy?
With the Medicaid expansion, that covers adults between the ages of 19 and 64 who make 138% of the federal poverty level. So what I tend not to like to use federal poverty level because nobody knows what that means.
Right.
So for an individual, it means that you're making about $1,300 a month. So your monthly income, if you're an individual, you know, by yourself, single, without a family, you're making about $1,321 a month. And for a family, say, of four, then that means that your household income would be $2,700, approximately $2,700. So, there will be many people who will qualify for Medicaid. But if you are making, you know, more than that, as we said earlier, you would be qualified for assistance, financial assistance through the exchange.
And this is big news because usually Medicaid doesn't cover just adults up to that amount of money. It's more focused on very low income and then, you know, like pregnant women and that kind of thing, right?
Exactly. So that's sort of what we like to say is that before 2014, in order to receive benefits through Medicaid, you had to be low income and something else. So low income and a parent, low income and a child, low income and pregnant, et cetera, or low income and disabled. But now, come 2014, you'll be able to just receive Medicaid benefits by, you know, being income eligible, which is a really, really big win.
Now, what happens if a person doesn't qualify for the extended Medicaid, but they don't make enough money to afford to purchase the plan on their own through the health insurance exchange?
Subsidies, though, go up to 400% of the federal poverty level. 400% of the federal poverty level goes up to, for one person, $3,830 a month for their monthly income. And for a family of four, that would be $7,850 as their monthly income. So there will be quite a few people who, you know, the fair majority, really, of people in New Mexico will be eligible either for Medicaid or financial assistance through the exchange. But for those over 400% of the federal poverty level, they would be purchasing insurance without financial assistance. But we tended to focus really on the affordability problem for those who are right above the cutoff for Medicaid, but under 200% of the federal poverty level. Now, those are the people that pretty consistently have income that fluctuates between Medicaid and the exchange. And so,
okay.
So those are sort of the people that we're concerned about as far as being able to afford actual, you know, to stay covered through the exchange. But I think there are a few things that we can do with that. So there will be these people that are throughout the entire state that are there to help guide people through purchasing coverage on the exchange. And with that, they'll be able to go through and discuss the actual exact finances and cost of each plan. And that's with, of course, the financial assistance from the federal government. And so I think that sort of period of discussing, like, which plans will cost what and, you know, what amount you'll have to pay if this happens, I think that's really paramount time in the process of getting covered for a family who, you know, may not be able to afford coverage. Because if they select, you know, a plan, say, that has a really low premium but really high deductible, if something were to happen, then they, you know, that they need to actually access their care, then they may still incur medical debt through that. You know, so it's really just a process that needs to be walked through and given pretty great consideration. But I think with the financial assistance from the federal government in, you know, paying for premiums and also helping with some out-of-pocket costs, that people will find that coverage is fairly affordable.
Now, these helpers you mentioned are the navigators or the healthcare guides, depending
exactly.
on the state. They're called different things, right?
Exactly. So New Mexico has opted to call all of the people giving assistance in person healthcare guides.
Explain just very briefly, how do you get to talk to a healthcare guide? Because really, right now, we're hearing just go to the website. But then how do you get to talk to somebody? And how do you get to talk to someone in your own language?
Right. So that is a great question. And there have been pretty big concerns around this issue. But there should be a list of the healthcare guides that's provided on the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange's website. So unfortunately, not to refer people again to, you know, check the website, but unfortunately that's where the information will be held. And if you type in your zip code, then it will pull up the locations of the healthcare guides that are nearest to you.
What about a toll-free number? Or some people like to get on the phone instead of online?
Right. So there will also be a call center that is manned by the exchange, and they'll be able to refer people also to the nearest healthcare guide. So they'll have that access to that information as well.
Now, we also have this issue of, you know, covering lots and lots more people, but then once they get into the system, what happens to them? And do we have enough providers to actually provide the care? Where are we with that?
So I can speak specifically for New Mexico, is that we are definitely in a situation where, and I hate to use the term provider shortage, but that, you know, we have a high population of people who will now be accessing care and not enough providers to provide that care. And so I think the infrastructure of our care system will probably have to grow with sort of this new population that will be accessing healthcare, and unfortunately how that will happen is yet to be seen. But that is absolutely a concern. I think that really accessing care is sort of a two-step issue. The first is, you know, somebody being able to afford the care, and the second is that somebody, you know, needs to be able to provide that care.
Right.
And so without both of those things, then you still have an access to care problem.
So we're really on the first step of
exactly.
just getting people covered.
Exactly. Another really great thing about the Affordable Care Act, though, is that there are provisions that try to incentivize providers to come to underserved populations and communities. And so hopefully between, you know, the incentives that are already built into the ACA and also, you know, a new group of people being able to access health care, between those two things, more providers will be attracted and come to the state.
Dorianne Mason, an attorney at the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. And the message you need to take away from this is to get enrolled. It is within your power now to get medical coverage for you and your family that's not been possible before. The toll-free number that Dorian talked about is 1-800-318-2596. And the website, again, is healthcare.gov. Next month, I will be looking at women in business and the way that businesses run. Is it time for a change? Jessica Eves Matthews is an entrepreneur, lawyer, and a single mom. She also wrote a best-selling book alongside Phil Dyer called Wonder Women: How Western Women Will Save the World. I caught up with her at a promotional event to talk to her about the book.
The interesting thing to note about this book is that we named it Wonder Women, but it is not intended to encourage women to be superwomen, where you drive yourself into the ground and you do nothing but take care of everybody else at your own expense. This is really about finding another way to balance your life and your career that actually brings all of who you are to the table. Because historically, you know, we've had, especially in the world of business, it's been very focused in sort of male-dominated, I win by you losing, we call it the Machiavelli or art of war way of doing business, right? And women's entrance into the workplace has been really at the expense of who they are. You know, women have tended to have to fit into the male way of thinking, and especially early when women were fighting for the right to enter the workplace, they had to really become like men in order mm-hmm. to be taken seriously and to succeed. And so women have tended to leave 80% of who they are at the door in order to get ahead in business. And so but what we found, particularly since 2008, and the book traces sort of the history of our economy and why we are where we are today. But really since 2008, I think it's become clear that the old way of doing business doesn't work. It's broken. It's a broken business model. It doesn't work. It's not healthy. It's not even healthy for the economy, much less for us as human beings.
Jessica Eves Matthews, co-author of the new best-selling book, Wonder Women: How Western Women Will Save the World, talking about how people need to change to make business needs and family life work together in a better way. Hear the whole interview next month. Mark your calendar for November 8th for Well Woman Radio. I'm Giovanna Rossi. For more information and links on today's topic, go to collectiveactionstrategies.com. Join me every second Friday of the month and mark your calendar for November 8th to tune in to Well Woman Radio. This has been Well Woman Radio. Well Woman Radio was produced by Christina Perry and Giovanna Rossi in partnership with KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Theme music was composed and performed by Paul Presley. You can find a podcast of the show at prx.org or kunm.org.